Welcome to the People, Planet, Prosperity podcast, hosted by Young Canadians for Resources and Canada Action. Today, we are fortunate to be joined by Shannon Watt, President and CEO of the Canadian Propane Association. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you.
So we have a bunch of really exciting stuff to talk about today, but just for the benefit of our listeners, if you could give us a quick introduction of who you are and the work that you do.
Sure. So Shannon Watt. Originally, I got a degree in meteorology and have not used it ever since. I'm actually what you would say is a career lobbyist. So I work for a lot of different industry associations, but I currently work for the Propane Association, represents 400 companies from coast to coast to coast that are all part of the value chain for propane.
Awesome. Thank you for that introduction. And out of curiosity, because we have young Canadians who listen to this and are exploring various career options, how did you get to working for the Canadian Propane Association?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder that too, but the truth is I feel like I kind of got led here. I started off as a meteorologist working for the government, and it just wasn't that interesting. And so a buddy of mine said, hey, you should come work for the farmers as a lobbyist. And I have to say it was probably one of the most interesting and exciting jobs I ever had. To be able to work on behalf of the farming community of Canada. And from there, I realized that I actually really enjoy representing these various sectors to government. It's exciting. Every day is different, whether it be meetings or policies or whatever it's going on. And so I've made a career of it. So I've gone from farmers, I went to municipalities, then I went to the chemical industry, and here I am with propane, which, funny enough, actually impacts communities, impacts chemical industry, and impacts farmers.
That's interesting. So we have a campaign or a program right now we're running called Food Needs Fuel. And one of the issue areas we've been trying to bring people's attention to is that when we talk about the fuel industry and we talk about the farming industry, there's actually a strong, strong connection between both of them. I'm curious if you have any interesting insights just off the top of your head, having worked in both fields.
Yeah. I mean, every single input into a farm is energy-based, right? Whether that be pesticides, herbicides, whether that be, you know, running your tractor, drying your crops, all that requires energy. And so, when you think of food, you should be thinking of the fuel that gets inputted into that food. And it is a holistic approach when you talk about farming.
So I know today we're going to be talking about some exciting developments when it comes to propane. But just to get into that to begin with, I just want to talk about where we're at today. And if you could tell us a bit about the importance of propane to Canada as of right now.
Yeah, so propane, I mean, we're only 2% of the energy market in Canada, but where we're used, we're really essential. And I know most people think propane and they think barbecues, but that's actually less than 1% of the amount of propane that gets used in Canada. We're used in mining, in industry. We're used residentially, you know, for your stoves as well as for heating. We're used in transportation. We're used in construction. We're actually used as a feedstock to make petrochemicals. And so propane has this really wide range of uses, and it's used in every single community across Canada from coast to coast to coast. So where it's used, it's actually really essential.
We had a really cool conversation with your colleague, Katie, a couple months ago. I would recommend any listener go check out that episode. But we also talked about how Canadian propane is actually really important to the world at large, that it can be a pretty transformative fuel source for communities all around the planet. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So there's about 3 billion users of propane around the world. They love Canadian propane. It's affordable, it's reliable, it comes from Canada. So there's a real market for propane and for Canadian propane. And in fact, over the last 5 years, our exports have just grown exponentially. So we used to just export to the United States. We actually export about 50% of our propane. Half of it goes to Asia and the other half goes to the States. And that amount continues to grow. So we see a lot of growth in Asia as well as sub-Saharan Africa.
So we talk a lot about an energy transition these days. And I think one thing we sometimes forget is that not everyone is at the starting point that we are in, like Canada or North America, where we're starting for an energy transition. Someone else, their transition is at a different place in time. So when we talk about those countries where globally Canada is shipping propane to, what are they moving from when they're switching to propane?
Yeah, so they're moving from coal, right? They're moving from dung in some cases, depending on what regions we're talking about, or wood that they've scavenged. And so the beauty of propane is they see it as a reliable source. They see it as a consistent energy source, whether you're cooking or whether you're heating. And so it really is displacing these energy sources that are either not sustainable or higher emitting. And so there is a real benefit to getting propane out there.
It is cool to see how propane as it exists today can be a pretty powerful energy source around the world. I mean, when we're talking about transitioning from coal, from burning dung, I can only imagine that there's both health and environmental impacts that come from that transition. So again, it's always important to remember the full spectrum of what an energy transition looks like. And it's so cool to see how Canada, in our own unique way, is being a part of that, especially when it comes to propane. On the issue of emissions, so traditional propane, what we're generally using today, how does that compare emissions-wise to other commonly used fuel sources at the moment?
So propane's about 30% cleaner than, say, diesel. Right, about 15% cleaner in terms of greenhouse gas emissions compared to gasoline. Now, in terms of air quality, so when you talk about air quality, you're talking about particulates, you're talking about nitrous oxides and sulfur dioxides and things like that. Propane's incredibly clean when you compare it to diesel, to gasoline, to heating oil, to other sources. We're very much on par with natural gas. So we have a very similar composition in terms of our emissions to natural gas. The biggest difference is that propane doesn't have methane emissions, which is another greenhouse gas. And the beauty about propane, especially when you're looking at rural remote locations, is if you spill propane, there's no impact on the soil, the air, or the water. And that's not the case for diesel. In fact, we spend millions of dollars all across the north cleaning up diesel spills because of the contamination. So this is another benefit of propane in terms of its use.
Interesting. That's really cool to hear. And again, like I think most people, when all you think about propane is when you think of barbecues, right? That full spectrum of the benefits it provides, the fact that, if you spill it, I mean, I even just recall working for a parks department and spilling some gas once on my work. And then we had to figure out, well, what are we going to do to clean that up? So that's really cool, like even that practical benefit there.
Well, and the other piece, and again, this is why it gets used for barbecues, is because it is clean burning, right? It doesn't leave any residue on your food, but it can also stay in storage for years, for decades. We actually have a system that's been there since the 1980s, and the propane's still fine. That's not the case for diesel. So you can't have diesel in storage for very long without actually cleaning it.
And I understand, too, that propane is often relied on in times of emergency.
Yes. Yeah. It absolutely. We call it the energy for first responders. So if there's ever a crisis, if the energy grid goes down, what are you reaching for? You're reaching for propane. You know, during COVID, when you were doing the testing, right, the drive-through testing in those tents, what was heating those tents? That was propane, right? What about the, when restaurants went outside? Propane heaters. And so it's a really portable energy source. That's actually one of its benefits, is how versatile and also how portable it is. And so you can use it, and when you're done, you can remove it.
Fascinating. So switching gears a little bit, we're going to be talking about some exciting developments in the propane world. But to kind of ease us into that, when we talk about decarbonization, what is that? And why is it important to both the Canadian Propane Association and to you personally?
So decarbonization. Basically, it's about reducing the carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels, basically. And why it's important to us is, well, one, so we think propane is a pretty incredible energy source. We think it's clean today, but we actually want it to be clean going into the future as we move into a lower carbon economy. And so our job has been to try and figure out ways to decarbonize. And actually, we just launched a report looking at how Canadian propane can decarbonize. And so something we're pretty excited about, we launched it on Wednesday, and it's something that we will be pushing for in terms of ensuring that propane continues to be a really important energy today, as well as into the future.
And again, why does that matter? Why does it matter to you? Because we always want to, we like to make it personal.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about, so when we talk about net zero, we can't electrify everything. We're going to need clean electricity and we're going to need clean molecules. Propane is a great molecule. So let's get that bio-based propane out there. And so we need to start getting on that path to being part of that clean discussion. And the reason why it's important is, you know, as I mentioned, it's used in all sorts of sectors, right? From industry, transportation, agriculture, residential. So if we clean up propane, we're also impacting those sectors. And again, you know, that export market, we're also helping to clean up there.
That's cool that you mentioned there really is a ripple effect when we can get this such important fuel source to become more and more clean over time. It impacts everything it touches. And again, we always like to ask, well, why does it matter to you? Because there often is this misconception that, you know, oil and gas companies, propane companies, energy companies, they don't care about the environment. We want to put the human face forwards that, you know, everyone who works in these companies, they live in these communities, they go hiking, they love nature, etc. So it's always cool to see how the people on the inside think about this. But
Sean, so I have to say, because I really appreciate that comment, because I think that gets missed, is that we are working in industry to make things better. And I care. I mean, I have a meteorology degree. I get this, right? I've looked at the science. I've met some of the scientists. You know, I trust the science. I think we need to do something. And that was part of the reason I joined CPA, was very much to do something, and with the support of the board, or our board and our members, to start having this conversation on how to decarbonize propane.
So let's get into that. What does that look like? I know I've heard things like renewable propane, bio-based fuels. What's that look like? And what is that?
So renewable propane or biopropane, it's exactly the same thing as traditional propane. It's just how you process it. And what's great about that is it means it's a drop-in fuel. So you can use it already in the uses where it's being used. And then the nice thing, as I mentioned about propane, is you can take it anywhere. So once we make this renewable propane, we can add it to traditional propane, or we can use it as is, and we can use it in any sort of system, any sort of situation, or any community across Canada.
So what exactly is it? Like, how is it made? What are the components of it? Just a basic outline for anyone interested.
Yeah, we in our report, we actually outline about 8 different pathways. Last count, I think we can even get up to about 11 in terms of possible pathways, but there's at least 8, of which a few of them are already happening. In fact, we think there's about 5 different locations across Canada where they're already making renewable propane. Right. And so they're making it from fats and oils. You can also make it from alcohols, from wood, from biomass, from biogas. So there's all these different ways that you can actually make biopropane. It's already being made in Canada, but it's not being marketed. It's not being captured and sold within Canada. And there's a whole host of reasons why that is. And we're hoping to sort of start that discussion with governments, with industry, start dismantling what's going on here, and try and create that market for renewable propane and really get it out there and used.
So before we get into that systemic change that might be required, what's the difference basically between regular traditional propane and renewable propane when it comes to emissions and their environmental footprint?
Yeah. So not to get too technical, I mean, traditional propane has a carbon intensity of about 72 grams of carbon dioxide per megajoule. So we'll just say 72. And renewable propane, depending on how it's made, can be anywhere from 7 to 45. So you're talking about a reduction of, like, say, 40 to 90% in terms of carbon intensity. And then depending even further in terms of R&D, we might be able to get to zero, if not to negative. And so there's a real opportunity to really reduce the carbon footprint of propane with renewable propane.
So I have to ask, get to negative. What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
That means you're sequestering carbon, right? So if you were to create propane from a biogenic source or a biological source, and then sequester some of that carbon, you're now getting into that negative area. So you're actually removing carbon from the atmosphere.
So beyond all the already great reasons to be excited about traditional propane, there's a ton of reasons to be excited about these new latest developments as well then.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah, I'm biased. I'm excited.
I'm excited listening to this. You mentioned that there's not exactly a market yet in Canada, and that's something that your organization will be looking to in the future to talk with various stakeholders about how to develop that. What is required for a meaningful transition to renewable propane to occur?
So simply put, we need to level the playing field. So what do I mean by that? I mean that governments have a tendency to pick winners and losers. And in this case, a lot of incentives are for ethanol to go into gasoline or for biodiesel. And propane has just not been on their radar. And partly that's our fault. We need to get out there and let them know how important propane is. But so we need to, because there are these incentives already in existence for other biofuels, we kind of need the same thing for biopropane. Right? Just to level that playing field and make sure that we have the same opportunities. We also don't have a great investment climate in Canada. And part of that is, you know, the regulatory system that we have and how we do permitting and all that. The other part of that, of course, is what's happening in the US and what's happening in Europe. And so we're competing, you know, for those investment dollars with what's, you know, the IRA down in the United States as well as in Europe. And so we've seen actual biorefineries get halted or at least put on pause because they looked to the states and said, maybe we need to investigate that before we go further in Canada. So making sure that we have an investment climate that is actually competing on the world stage is important too.
And what would you say would be important steps for making that happen? I know a lot of people have talked about how there are certainly a lot of positives from the American system, which has been put in place for encouraging energy transitions. I understand you mentioned that Europe also has a different climate. I wonder if you could narrow down a little bit on a couple key things that they do and maybe how that could be imported here.
Yeah. Wow, it's complex. But I'll tell you this. So I find, you know, it was once described to me that Canada has basically, when you come to invest in Canada, it's like a buffet of sticks, right? So if you think of the carrot and stick analogy, it's really about these regulatory constraints in terms of what you can do. While in the States, it's like a buffet of carrots, right? So it's about incentives. It's about dollars per megajoule of hydrogen that you produce. So they really just approach it in a different way, which we simply put could be about just throwing money or, you know, tax credits. And so really trying to balance the carrots and sticks that we have in Canada. I feel like we're very stick heavy and not enough on the incentive side. And whereas the states have done a really good job as incentivizing. And as a result, you're seeing this investment that is unprecedented in any other part of the world. And so having that discussion with the governments, you know, provincial and federal, on how we can basically just support these industries to think about Canada, because we have so many advantages in Canada, right? We have the resources. I kid you not, there are feedstocks that are coming from Canada, going to the States to make biofuels that are then being sold back into Canada. Why can't we do that here? How can we make that happen here? So that's the conversations we want to have with government.
That's interesting that we ship the materials there only for the finished product to be sent back here. I know one thing that at YCR and Canada Action we love to talk about is that as you're noting, we have a strong regulatory framework, and perhaps sometimes that is maybe a little excessively strong, but the net result is that we have incredibly strong industry practices for resource development in Canada. We have incredibly strong human rights records, employment standards, etc. in Canada. So there really are so many good reasons to be doing this in-house. And it's exciting that we hopefully down the road could be doing that, but certainly you have to ask yourself, well, why aren't we doing that with all these good things that already exist here? So in the report that I was able to look at some of the facts, it talked about how renewable propane is currently more expensive than regular propane. Is that something that we should expect to change in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, it's supply and demand, right? So as we get better technologies, as we get more renewable propane onto the market, that price will decrease. And so, yeah, right now it's about double traditional propane in terms of making renewable propane. But we expect that in the future to go down.
Okay. And that will partly, again, depend on the investment situation changing and the regulatory framework. And okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So what are the benefits of renewable propane that go beyond just the lower emissions aspect?
Mm. So the thing about renewable propane, it's, you know, exactly the same as propane. So it has all the same benefits as traditional propane. So that lower air quality impacts, the fact that, you know, when you spill it, there's no issues. The fact that it's versatile, that it's portable, the fact that there's already an infrastructure in place to handle it and you can take it anywhere you need to. So it's that versatility, it's that ability to be used wherever it's needed. It has the exact same benefits and it's lower emitting.
Okay. Now, as these new developments occur in renewable propane, obviously that sometimes will bring to the fore different career opportunities, specialties, etc. So do you see the job market expanding then in the propane industry as we undergo this transition?
That's a great question. Yes. I think one of the things about propane that other energies don't have is that it's a very community-based energy, right? These are mom-and-pop retailers in almost every single community across Canada that are providing jobs, that are interacting with their customers and their neighbors on a regular basis. And so propane provides that local job, local economic impact that other energies don't necessarily provide, like electricity grids or natural gas pipelines. And so there's this positive impact, especially in more rural and remote communities that you don't necessarily see with other energy sources.
Interesting. We had an opportunity recently to interview someone who worked in the agriculture industry, and he talked about the importance of his industry for preserving small town communities. And obviously, like, that sounds really good. It feels like something you could stamp on a Hallmark card. But why does that matter? I'm curious, because we always, again, we like to put faces to these concepts. So why does preserving these communities and providing jobs in these communities, why does that matter? Why does it matter to you?
I mean, it's Canada, right? We are a nation that was built on a rural economy. It is it's the face of Canada. It's the heart of Canada. We are resource based. I cannot speak more highly of the importance of our rural and remote communities in ensuring our economic prosperity, and ensuring that they have all that the urban centers have, right? I often think, you know, we talk about energy justice or the energy transition, and we often talk about that within the urban context and completely forget that there's entire rural communities that should also be accessing this cleaner energy, should also be accessing cellular towers and, you know, fiber optic internet. So the importance of rural communities can't be understated. It's just really the foundation of who we are as Canadians.
That was really well put. Thank you. We've talked about the domestic part now, just with rural communities. I know recently there was discussions about how other countries were looking to Canada and really interested in acquiring Canadian LNG. And I'm curious, both with regular propane, but also as we expand into these new biofuels and renewable propane, is there other actors out there who are saying, please do this? We would love to benefit from this from you.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about LNG and the fact that it can reduce the footprint of numerous countries that are on coal, that are on heating oil or on diesel. And here propane's already doing it, right? We're already exporting. We're already having that impact. And, you know, in Canada, we're having this decarbonization conversation and how to reduce our footprint. And elsewhere in the world, they're like, you know, you'll just help us by just exporting propane to us. Right, just traditional propane as is will have a huge impact in reducing our carbon intensity. So yeah, there's a real desire for Canadian propane.
Okay. So as we kind of close out this, I want to talk a bit about the opportunities that emerge from this and what young Canadians should be looking to, again, as they start to plan out their careers, as they look for opportunities. If there was advice you wanted to give to a young Canadian who might be listening, or an older Canadian, and they're like, well, this is really cool, I have some interest in this area, what would you tell them about getting more involved?
I mean, we're always going to need energy, right? We're always going to need. I think this is such an incredible industry to be a part of, and there are so many opportunities in the energy industry. And you see all segments of this industry really trying to grapple with how to be greener and more sustainable. And we need, you know, those young, industrious, smart employees coming in and really shaking things up and thinking big and being part of this transition with us. And so I highly encourage anybody that's interested in the energy industry to really get involved. To, you know, we're always looking for new labor, for new employees in this industry, and I'm hoping they see a real future here for us.
Absolutely. So as we close up then, what would be the one or two biggest takeaways that you want a listener to walk away with from this conversation?
So I think number one is if we're going to get to net zero, we can't just electrify everything. We're going to need clean molecules. And there's a role for propane in that. And number two would probably be just the importance of propane in so many versatile and different ways that it gets used. And so we often get lost in the energy conversation, yet where we're used, we're essential.
I know I said we were closing up, but you said something and I really want to ask about it. We can't just electrify everything. I know most of us, I think, when we think of the energy transition, think of electrification. We think of things running on electricity. We think of our cars or everything like that. Why is that not the full solution to the energy transition?
There are communities that will never be part of the electricity grid. How are we going to support them, right? There's only so much we can do to build out our infrastructure for electricity, right? We're talking billions of dollars across Canada. There is a role for molecules, right? For clean molecules, whether that's moving vehicles, I think, you know, it's a very effective way, whether that's providing energy for remote locations. There is a need to provide energy that's beyond just electricity. So it's really about supply and demand, right? So maybe beyond 2050, we'll be able to electrify everything. But up until 2050, absolutely. I think almost every scenario shows that there needs to be some sort of clean molecule as part of this discussion.
Okay. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for your time today. Again, to our listeners, that was Shannon Watt with the President and CEO of the Canadian Propane Association. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Our listeners, please stay tuned for future episodes. Also, if you're interested, sign up for our newsletter where you can find more interesting content about Canada's natural resource industries. Thank you so much. That's the People, Planet, Prosperity podcast.